Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
I'd like to talk to you today about Jesus. And I have pulled from his life story one of the stories about his resurrection, the event that we're celebrating this afternoon. This comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, this day that we are remembering, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Jumping down to verse 11, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." Now, many years ago, my wife Becky and I, we took our oldest daughter, Emily, and by the way, I have Emily's permission to tell you this story, in case you're wondering. And she was 5 years old, and this was going to be our first trip, the first time to take her to an amusement park, like a Disneyland or a Legoland, that kind of a place with rides, you know. And this particular park was called Cedar Point. We're in the state where I'm from. We are from in the U.S. Emily had never been to an amusement park before. She'd never seen one of those rides, you know, kiddie rides. And so we got her in line, you know, and we got in line for the ride called the Frogger. The Frogger, like the frog. And it was just a simple ride that kids got into the seats and they put the bar, safety bar over, and then they, you know, you went up, 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 and then it kind of bounced you up and down like that, you know, kind of like a child appreciation. Your child would enjoy that kind of a thing. And then the ride was over and you got off. So we're watching the ride together and we're pointing out to Emily, this is what's going to happen to you. We didn't want her to be afraid. And we get in line, and I'm showing her that, you know, Daddy is not going to be able to, you know, this nice person is going to take you and help you get onto the ride, and this is the important part. I said, "Now, Emily," I said, "you know, I can't get on the ride with you, you know, and I can't stand beside you. I'm going to be standing over there where Mommy is standing. Can you see Mommy standing over there? Wave, Mommy, you know." "Okay, good. Now, when you get off the ride," this is the critical part, "we want you to come right over to where Mommy and Daddy are standing." You know what I'm saying, Emily? You got that, right? She, "Sure. Okay, Daddy, you're right." So we watch her, and she's going up and down on the ride. She's laughing. Her hands are in the air. She's really enjoying herself. She's really having a fun time. And Becky and I are watching her, and it's one of those parent moments where we're really watching. We're going to, because we know she's going to get off the ride. We know she's going to be walking over to us. And it must have been a split second. It felt like that, where we both must have just taken our eyes off the ride for just a fraction of a second, because all of a sudden we look at the ride, the kids are off, and we don't see Emily. We look at the people in front of us. We're not that far from the ride. Little kids are coming toward their parents, but not our little kid. We don't see her. And we're looking, and some of you parents, if you've been in this situation, the panic, we don't see her. We're looking around. We start going. We think that someone has taken her. And we start, have you seen my little girl? Have you seen my girl, little girl? She's Chinese. She's wearing a red T-shirt. She's, you know, silly. And so we're starting to, the fear and the anxiety are starting to build up. We think maybe someone has taken her. She was not taken, you'll be glad to know. Because just about the moment we were ready to go contact security or the police or somebody like that, we look and there is Emily back on the ride. Her hands are waving in the air. She's having a great time. Mommy and Daddy almost had a heart attack, but Emily's having a fun time. And I think, you say, what's that got the story got to do with this story? Because I wonder if Mary didn't have that same sense of panic when she came to the tomb that day and Jesus was not there. What's happened? What's going on? What's happening? What's happened to the body of my friend Jesus? He's supposed to be in this tomb. We came today to do the thing that everybody does on the soon after a person was dead and buried, they came to prepare their bodies with spices, and that's why we're here today, and we've come and he's gone. Did someone take him? In fact, she's now standing outside the tomb, wondering, obviously, what is happening, filled with anxiety and sorrow, and she sees a man that she thinks is the gardener, and says, have you taken his body? Did you do something here? It was a new tomb. Did you get a mistake there and think that that guy shouldn't have been buried in that tomb and you moved him somewhere? And all of this begins to come together when Jesus speaks her name. Mary assumes that the gardener is just a gardener until he calls her by name and she recognizes the voice of her shepherd. And that's actually something Jesus had already said in John chapter 10, that his sheep would know him by his voice. They would know the voice of their shepherd. And here, just short time later, it's actually happening. Mary is recognizing the voice of her shepherd. She didn't recognize him as the gardener, but in his voice, she recognized her Savior, her friend. She recognized the person of Jesus. The tomb of Jesus was indeed empty, but not because the gardener had moved the body mistakenly, but because Jesus had been raised, just as he said. He was alive, and he was standing right there with her in that moment. And from that day, some 2,000 years ago now, until today, we are celebrating this very event, that Jesus, who was the Son of God, gave his life, died on the cross, was not resuscitated after 3 days of being unconscious, but died, then was raised again on the third day, and today we have gathered to celebrate this thing. We have this event, this time when all of history was changed. We've gathered together today following many, many generations, some 2,000 years of generations. Now it's our turn to celebrate. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen, Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. Which, by the way, is why it's strange that when Jesus gives a message to Mary to take back to his disciples who were not there, for whom the last that they knew about Jesus was that he had died, and the body of Jesus was not in the tomb where it was supposed to be, that Jesus would not give Mary the message, tell them I'm alive, tell them I'm risen, but give them the message, tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The message was to tell them that he was on the way. Tell my disciples, tell my friends, tell your friends, who were not here today, did not meet me in the garden, tell them that not that I am risen, but tell them that I am ascending to my God and your God, to my Father and your God. Tell them I am on my way to the Father, and tell them I am on my way to them. And he tells it to Mary first, of course. Jesus spoke often of his love for friends, and Mary was one of those close friends. When he first met Mary, this is, by the way, I know if you're familiar with the Bible, especially these Gospels called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a lot of Marys involved, and it can get a little confusing. I know. This is Mary from the town of Magdala. It's that Mary. And when they had met, Mary was a very, very unwell person. She had been demon-possessed. She'd been in tremendous trouble. And when she first meets Jesus, Jesus heals her. And many other women at that particular moment were also healed with Jesus. And he delivered her, and he helped her, and he saved her. He saved her life. Mary, along then with a small group of women, whom Jesus had healed, would spend the next 3 years with Jesus, traveling with him and the other male disciples during his ministry years. But most importantly, I think, most importantly, Mary and the other women would become witnesses, a living link to the most important event in human history. They would be a link to Jesus's death, to his burial, and to his resurrection. Think of it. Mary was there at all three events. They watched him die. They watched as he was buried. And they saw him. They saw the same empty tomb. Jesus wants her to see him, but not just physically. Jesus wants her to see that his work is not finished, that he is on the way to the Father, that he is on the way to their friends, that Jesus at that moment was a work in progress. Mary was beyond joy to see Jesus alive. Mary was beyond unbelievable joy to know that the sorrow is fleeing like it would be, and telling the story to her, telling her the story that I am on my way to my Father, please go and tell my disciples. The tension for Mary is real. Right? As it would be for the others who had lived in this unique time in history. Because Mary and the others would have known the living Jesus, the Jesus that lived on the earth, right? The historical Jesus. I mean, so they're the ones that were there when Jesus was transformed from being the living person they knew for these last 3 years or so, walking with him, living with him, hearing him, getting close to him, watching him die, watching him burying, and now this new Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, standing before them. Jesus is telling Mary things are changing. There's a new direction, and I'm in progress. I am on my way to my Father. Tell them that I am on my way. The tension was real, the tension to say, why can't we just stay where we are? Why can't things just stay the way they are? They remembered Jesus. They remembered what a friend he was. They remembered their unique time together with him. Maybe they said things like, Jesus, you know, there's nobody who knew his way around a charcoal fire like him. Boy, he could make a really good breakfast. I miss him. Why can't we just go back to those days? Or perhaps they remembered how he could speak with so much authority and yet so much compassion. Why don't we just stay here at the empty tomb? Why don't we just stay right here and look at that empty tomb, and nothing ever has to change? You know, I discovered something in preparation for today's talk that I did not know. Now, it may not surprise you to know there's a lot of things I don't know. but I didn't know this. I guess I was surprised I didn't know this. But the empty tomb of Jesus had no particular interest for the early Christians. In other words, it did not become a Christian tourist site. I mean, Jesus died and was risen about 33, 34 AD. It's not like the early Christians said, let's all get organized. Let's find one of those people with a pole with a red flag on top, and we'll just all organize groups, and we'll go look at the empty tomb together. You know, that didn't happen. I don't know if you're surprised by that, but I was surprised by that. The empty tomb did not become something that Christians visited. I mean, today we are celebrating the empty tomb, but for those first few hundred years of Christianity, they didn't celebrate this. Then by going and memorializing this place, they were celebrating not necessarily the empty tomb, but the living Lord Jesus. But the living Lord Jesus. And this was Jesus' message to Mary to give to his disciples. Tell them that I am alive and that I am on my way to my Father and that I am on my way to them. His resurrection was a part of a larger story that was being told by the Father, which would lead Jesus back to the Father to his right hand. And because Jesus did make it back to his Father, he was on the way, you'll be happy to know, and this is actually part of the good news that we're celebrating today, that he did make it back to his Father. And because of this, from the right hand of the Father, Jesus is preparing a place for you and I. Jesus is preparing a place for you and I. I find tremendous comfort in knowing that in Christ, when I die, or when anyone dies in Christ, their spirit goes to be with Jesus. It's a question people often ask, what happens when I die? Well, if we are in Christ today, when we die, then our spirit will go to be with Christ, and he has prepared a place for you because he's at the right hand of the Father. Because he's at the right hand of the Father, because he was on his way to the Father and he made it there, he launched a new day. He launched a new day when our prayers, our lives would be effective and fruitful for his kingdom. Because he made it to the Father, he would send the Spirit. He would send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would be our advocate, who would be our comforter, and who would be a living link to the Father and the Son. You know, when I was a little kid, you know, I'm not sure if they taught me this or if I just picked up on it, because I was a church kid. I went to church as a kid, and people would say, but they'd ask the question, where is Jesus today? And I'd say, right here in my heart, you know. Well, you know what? Jesus is at the right hand of his Father. I know that Jesus is present with me because he has sent his Spirit to reveal him to me so that I know he is with me. How do I know that Jesus is with me? How do I know that Jesus is alive? How do I know that he is present with me day in and day out, and they will never leave me and forsake me? How do I have the comfort of God? How do I know the advocacy of God? Because Jesus is at the right hand of his Father and sending, having sent his Spirit to us. Tell them I am on my way to the Father, and I am on my way to them. We come on Easter Sunday to celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus, only to discover that 2,000 years later, he's still not there. And we come to celebrate today that he did arrive at his Father's right hand. Just as he said, I'm on my way to the Father, he did arrive to his Father, and he will come to them, and he will invite them to join him on the way. They were all there that day when they saw Jesus, and he met them there. And he is on the way to see us. He's on the way to see us. You know, later on the same day when Mary encounters the gardener, and on the story that we read just a few moments ago, later on that same day, Jesus does exactly what he told Mary he was going to do. Now, we, of course, know now he was on his way to the Father, and he made it there. But he also made his way to them, to the other disciples, just as he said he was going to do. And when he got there and they had that same kind of encounter with Jesus as Mary had had in the garden, and he reminded them, personally, I'm on my way to the Father, he invites them to join him on the way as well. Now, they were all there, all the disciples, minus Judas and minus one of the disciples named Thomas. So later, of course, Thomas shows up, and the other guys are telling them what had happened, that Jesus had come, he'd arrived, we saw him physically, he's alive, the tomb is empty, he's alive, he told us he's on his way to the Father, he's on his way to us, and then he came to see us. And Thomas says, well, I wasn't here. You know, I wasn't here. I didn't see that. I didn't meet, encounter the risen Lord Jesus. And so Jesus comes back like a week later, and just for Thomas, so that Thomas could meet the risen Lord Jesus, the living Lord Jesus. Now they are all together. Now they are all together. Mary had been overwhelmed with sorrow and anxious thoughts. The disciples were overwhelmed with fear. Thomas had been overcome by his doubts. The point of today is not to tell you that the tomb is empty, but to tell you that Jesus is alive and he is living and that he's on his way to you. He's on his way to you. You know, I've known and had conversations, I've had spiritual conversations with people for 40 years. And I can't tell you the number of times, many, many, many times, how people become aware in their living that God was seeking them. It's this part of the Jesus story that they were aware of. Jesus was coming for me. Jesus was looking for me. Jesus was making his way toward me. There are moments in our story, maybe when we were children, maybe it was a grandmother who was a Christian and prayed for you. Maybe it was a classmate. Maybe it was somebody at university. Maybe it was another family member or a friend. Things happen. Maybe there was a close call during your university years. You thought you were going to die. You were in a car accident. Different times and moments in your life when you were aware that Jesus was on his way to you. It's very much like Jesus to be on his way to us. It's the same, and it hasn't changed. Jesus is still on the way to every person so that we might join him on the way to the Father. I think it's interesting that Jesus, in response to Thomas, would offer a blessing, not for Thomas, really, and not for anybody there that day, but for you and I. When he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Perhaps you will never meet the physical body and presence of the risen Lord Jesus. A man named Paul did. Others have, but very few. Maybe the first time you'll ever meet him face to face will be the day that you have left this earth in your death to meet him. Today, you are being invited to meet the living Lord Jesus and believe on him. He has made his way to you. He has made his way to you so that you might believe on him and be saved. He loves you that much. He loves you that much. You can't even begin, you and I both cannot even begin to imagine the depth of the love of God that he has for each and every one of us here. It's that personal. And as I said a moment ago, perhaps you're already aware that he's been on his way towards you. There's been glimpses of that in your story. But here you are today on Easter Sunday 2025 in a church. Perhaps you're one of those people sitting here right now thinking, I would have never guessed that I'd be sitting in a church on an Easter Sunday 2025. Of all the places I could have been, this is probably the least likely, but here I am. That's not a coincidence, because Jesus has been on his way to you. He loved you enough to bring you here that you might meet together and that you might join him on the way to the Father. You know, meeting Christ like this is something that many, if not really millions and millions of people have done in the past and even today. to meet the living Lord Jesus by his Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that is helping us to understand that this story of the resurrection of Jesus is a true story. It's the Spirit of God that is helping us to understand that this true story is for me. It's the Spirit of God that's helping you right now to understand that I want to be met by Jesus. That's me. I want to believe in him. I want to ask him to forgive me. I really want to be free of my shame. I'm tired of being overcome and overwhelmed by my sorrow, my anxiety, my fears, and my doubts. I want to find my rest in God, and now to know that God has been on his way to meet you is good news. It's good news to you. So why not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and this can be your prayer. I want to say this to you before we pray. Remember that what we're doing now is praying in a way where we talk to God, but it is very much the beginning of a journey with God in the person of Jesus. That's why there's a community of faith like this one, so that we can all do that together, so that we can encourage each other, that we can disciple one another, that we can help each other. We're really taking a step right now to say, I will join Jesus on the way. And that's a journey that we begin starting today. Let's pray. Father, as we pray this afternoon, on this day, we pray together and give thanks to hear this good news again, that you did not stay in the tomb, that you had victory over death, that you are not only alive, but you remained alive, that you are living now. You weren't raised to just die again 20 years later, but never to die again, because you are the living, forever eternal living Lord Jesus. And it's that life that you offer to us today. I thank you, God, that many, many of us in this room can bear witness to your faithfulness to continue to pursue us and come after us and make a way toward us. Even when we insisted on not believing in you, you didn't give up. You didn't give up. You kept finding a way, and you have found a way today to us, that we might believe, that we might be saved in you, that we might be delivered from our fear and our sin and our delivered from our anxiety and our sorrow and our doubts. Father, I pray as we confess to you, we have lived a life without you in it. We confess that we have lived in a way, Father God, that you didn't exist. And we've tried to be our own gods and our own kings and all that. But that's come to an end. Forgive us our sins. Heal our hearts and our minds. We accept you as the one who is the Lord or leader of our lives. Now, we thank you for making a way to us today. And Father, with your help, following your Son Jesus, we will follow you with all of our heart, our soul, and mind and strength. For it's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen.